This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we are glad you're with us to join us for a special segment today. We call it Protect Your Legacy with our good friend, attorney Blake Harris of Mile High Estate Planning, and we will not waste any time here. Blake, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Man, I appreciate you making time in your busy schedule to be with us here today, and we appreciate that very much.
Yep. Great to be back on the show.
All right, Blake. I tell you, a lot of areas in this whole estate planning, but one we're going to kind of start off with today about, you know, what happens if you become incapacitated and you don't have an estate plan? Because I'm sure everyone that knows someone that maybe has become incapacitated, I mean, hey, that wasn't in their day planner that day. It was not planned. They thought they probably had more time, and all of a sudden this happens. So what happens if we find ourselves in that predicament?
Sure. It is a very common problem. I would say about two-thirds of all people don't have any estate plan put together, and their families come to my office after the fact, and instead of putting together a fairly simple estate plan that may not cost all that much, we have to back into the process. And so if you don't have a financial power of attorney, if you don't have a medical power of attorney, then you're left going through the court-supervised process, which is a guardianship proceeding and a conservatorship proceeding. These proceedings cost anywhere from $10,000 up to $50,000 or $60,000 because they can last for years or in some cases decades. So not having any estate plan and becoming incapacitated means that you could lose tens of thousands of dollars in court costs and legal fees to have a guardian and conservator appointed by the probate court. But what's even worse is if you become incapacitated and end up in a nursing home and you don't have any long-term care insurance, or your long-term care insurance, like most long-term care insurance, only pays for part of the long-term care, you risk having your estate pay out around $5,000 to $10,000 per month, so hundreds of thousands of dollars, which could be eating up in nursing home costs because you didn't do any planning.
Wow. And I tell you, that's why there's so much, you know, involved in this. And, you know, we'll touch on this a little bit later, but just everybody that I talk to, since we've been doing shows, and hey, do you have a plan and all? Yeah, I've got a will. And there's just so much more to this.
Yes, that's certainly true. A will is a very important document, but what I tell clients and what I tell prospective clients is that you don't want a will, you don't want a trust. What you want is an estate plan, a set of documents which work together to plan for your potential incapacity and plan for your inevitable passing so that your assets, number one, they avoid probate, both lifetime probate, as we just discussed, the guardianship and conservatorship proceeding, and then death probate. This is the probate that most people think of when they pass away. And probate is the government process for distributing your assets after you pass away. If you don't have any estate plan, or if you have just a will, then you have a ticket to the probate court. Mm-hmm. There's a common misconception that a will avoids probate. This is not true. A will is a ticket to the probate court. And just like guardianship and conservatorship proceedings can cost thousands or in some cases tens of thousands of dollars, probate at death can cost thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. And it also opens the door to a lot of family conflict.
Yeah.
This is why I encourage clients to set up an estate plan which will avoid probate.
Right, absolutely. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Protect Your Legacy with attorney Blake Harris, Mile High Estate Planning. Check out his website, milehighestateplanning.com. And I'm telling you, you want to read some great reviews and honest reviews of how Blake has helped many, many families through this process. I highly recommend you check out his website. His number is 720-924-6717. So then, Blake, you know, if we talk about then passing without an estate plan, I think so many times, too, people, you know, think, well, you know, my wife will just take care of things, or my husband will take care of things, or my kids can just handle things. And a lot of things with bank accounts, like you've talked about, and medical decisions, boy, need to be have a plan with everything, don't they?
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to walk you through the various components that should be in an estate plan, which will help avoid probate. It'll help keep the fees down. It'll make the transition of assets to the next generation smoother. So let's start off by talking about incapacity planning. There are four main documents which everyone should have to plan for their potential incapacity. The first one is a financial power of attorney. In the event that you become incapacitated, incarcerated, go missing, for whatever reason, you cannot manage your own financial affairs, a financial power of attorney allows the agent that you have selected to make a financial decision on your behalf. This avoids the need for a court-supervised conservatorship upon your incapacity. The next document, or the next set of documents, would be for in the event of your medical incapacity. This includes a medical power of attorney for making medical decisions, a HIPAA release. HIPAA is a federal law which protects the privacy of your health care. In the event that you become incapacitated, you want your agents to be able to access that protected health care information and share it with doctors so that they can make informed medical decisions. And then finally, a living will. A living will says that if you're in a permanent vegetative state, that you do want to have life support removed. Mm-hmm. This is so that you don't kid, this is so that you're not stuck on a breathing tube indefinitely. Those are the documents you need to plan for your incapacity so that you can avoid a guardianship or conservatorship upon you becoming incapacitated, avoid lifetime probate by the use of the various power of attorney documents. The other documents that are needed, that the other document that I recommend clients create so that they can avoid probate after they pass away, is a revocable living trust. Unlike a will, which is a ticket to the probate court, a revocable trust will pass property outside of probate. And then another benefit of the revocable trust is that it gives protection to your beneficiaries. Now, a revocable living trust has two types of protection for your beneficiaries other than simply just avoiding court. This includes protecting your children from their own inheritance. So if you have minor children or children that are just past the age of 18 and you don't want to drop a large sum of money right into their pocket right away and have them go blow it all in Vegas real quickly, you can protect your children from spending through their inheritance too quickly with a revocable living trust. The other benefit of a revocable living trust is for children who may be over the age of 25, over the age of 30, they're able to manage their own financial affairs just fine. We still want to protect them from outside parties, such as divorcing spouses, lawsuits, creditors, or even the need to qualify for government benefits. We want to make sure that a child doesn't have to spend down, a special needs child or grandchild doesn't need to have to spend down their entire inheritance before they receive government benefits. So the revocable trust, it avoids probate after you pass away, and then it keeps the property protected from your children until they reach a certain age, and it keeps it protected from outside parties for a lifetime.
Right. Now, you know, you've mentioned revocable living trust and irrevocable living trust. What kind of differentiates, if you want, revocable or irrevocable?
Sure. So all trusts can be classified as either revocable living trust or irrevocable trust. A revocable trust is primarily for the purposes we discussed, avoiding probate and protecting it for the next protecting the assets for the next generation. Irrevocable trust, there's two main purposes of an irrevocable trust. The first purpose is for avoiding lawsuits. In the event that you face litigation or could face litigation in the future, an irrevocable asset protection trust will keep those assets safe from another party taking them away from you. The other benefit of a irrevocable trust is for protection from nursing home costs. Mm-hmm. The average cost for a 1 month stay in a nursing home in the Denver area runs anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 per month.
Wow.
By setting up a Medicaid asset protection trust, you can make sure that upon the event that you need to move into a nursing home, that the government will pay for your long-term care as opposed to your own estate, And then when you pass away, you'll be able to leave assets to your children as opposed to some healthcare provider.
Right. Once again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Protect Your Legacy with Attorney Blake Harris of Mile High Estate Planning. Once again, his number, and it's a free consultation, by the way, 720-924-6717. Now, Blake, you mentioned
That's 720-924-6171.
I am so sorry. Thank you so much.
No worries.
All right. Now, you mentioned the financial power, attorney, medical power, the HIPAA, living will. What events would happen in someone's life to where they might need to update one or all of those documents?
Sure. So the first biggest mistake that people make when it comes to estate planning is simply putting it off. And I've told the story in my own situation where I have two young children. They are 7-year-old boy-girl twins, best of friends. I'm very, very blessed. When they were born, I was an estate planning attorney myself. It wasn't until my own children were about 3 years old that I actually sat down and put together my own estate plan. It's like the plumber that goes around and fixes everyone else's toilet and then comes home to a leaky toilet. So I can certainly relate to putting it off. But however, once it's taken care of, you have peace of mind going forward, knowing that you've done your portion to plan for your family. Getting to your question of when would somebody need to update their document. So there are several triggering events which would give rise to wanting to review or update your documents. And this is the second most common mistake, is not updating your estate plan. In the event that you have a major change in your life circumstances, such as there's a marriage or a divorce or birth or a death within your family, it's time to take a review and look at your estate planning documents. This is part of the reason that for my clients, we include free lifetime reviews. If you create an estate plan with Mile High Estate Planning, you can call us 6 months later or 10 years down the road, and we would always be happy to sit down and review your current estate planning documents with you. As far as the other changes to consider are, if you move, if you have a large change in your assets, if you get hit with a lawsuit, or if you have a family member that starts to lose capacity, it's a good time to stop, review your documents, and make sure that your estate plan is still in line with your goals.
Gotcha. Understand. And, you know, we do a show with a financial planner, David Cishon, and he has five areas of a financial plan, and one of those is an estate plan. So, really, a solid financial plan also really must include an estate plan, he was telling me the other day.
Yes, absolutely. If there are financial advisors listening to your show, we partner with lots of financial advisors and help them make sure that their clients have done the proper steps to update, to put together a proper estate plan. After you create a trust, you're going to need to fund the trust. And most people have three types of assets. The first one is their home. When we create an estate plan for a client, when we create a revocable living trust for a client, we will also prepare a deed which transfers the home from their name into the name of the trust, keeping the home outside of probate. Again, a third biggest mistake is not funding your trust. Mm-hmm. I told you, I get calls, how much does a will cost? How much does a trust cost? And again, you don't want a will, you don't want a trust, you want an estate plan. And an estate plan includes a will, it includes a trust, but also should include funding of the trust. So creating a deed for the home, then creating an assignment for all the tangible personal property so that your tangible items, your clothing, your furniture, your jewelry are all owned by your trust. And then the third one is, and this goes back to what you were saying about working with a financial advisor, is transferring your account at your financial institutions, with your bank, with your investment advisor, into the name of the trust. This can be done either through opening up a new account in the name of the trust, or it can be done just by updating the beneficiary designation on your financial accounts. Once you've done all three of the funding steps, the home, the assignment of personal property, and the updating of the beneficiary designations, in some cases, there might be a side business out there which needs to be assigned. Perhaps there's a rental property that needs to be put into an LLC and then have the LLC assigned into the trust. You will have a fully funded trust, And then upon your incapacity or passing, the government won't be involved at all in your financial and personal family affairs.
Okay, great. What are most clients, when you sit down with them for the first time, and maybe, you know, they have never really sat down with anyone to do an estate plan, what are just some of the things initially in your first consultation that they're surprised to learn when they sit down with you about just having a complete estate plan?
Sure. So here's the biggest surprise that most people get. It's that the process for setting up an estate plan is actually much simpler than they expect. Most people will put off estate planning fearing it's going to be a daunting task. If you work with a good estate planning law firm, we are going to make the process very simple on you. It doesn't take a lot of information. It doesn't take a lot of time to gather the right documents in order to put together your estate plan. We'll be able to counsel you through the entire process of putting together the forms and putting together the documents you need to review. And then we will send to our clients the documents to review. They have as long as they would like to review it, to make any changes that they'd like, speak with their agents, their financial power of attorney, their guardian, their trustee, and make sure that everybody's on board with it. And then another thing that most people don't realize is that there are gaps in a lot of estate plans that are already out there. Some clients come to me with a will and say they've got an estate plan. It's, no, you don't have an estate plan. You have a will. You have part of an estate plan. You've got one will on the car. Let's get you to a position. We've got a full, ready-to-drive car that will take you from where you are to where you want to be without any hiccups or bumps along the way.
Right.
Another common issue that I see when somebody has created an estate plan with another firm is outright distribution. So to go through the list of mistakes, number one is putting it off. Number two is not updating it. Number three is not funding your trust. And number four, and I see this done by some very reputable law firms, is outright distributions. Outright distributions is where you say that we're going to protect the money for our children until they turn 21 or until they turn 35, and then the next day we're just going to go and give them all of the money. If you do that, and then their spouse the next day files for divorce, you could see all the money that you have worked so hard for over the course of your life lost to a divorcing spouse or to a creditor or lost in a bankruptcy. Instead of giving your children an outright distribution, give them the power to select a trustee. They can choose anyone who they would like as trustee. They can choose their best friend as trustee and request distributions from their trustee anytime they want and be able to use the money and spend the money as they see fit. But they're not going to be able to have anybody force that money away from them. They're not going to be able to have anybody take that money away from them because of the trustee they've selected will be able to withhold distributions to third parties. So the next thing that people are often surprised about is, one, how simple the process is. Number two is that their estate plan, if it was done by somebody who may not specialize in estate planning, that they may have gaps in their current estate plan.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one thing great that I love about, you know, what you do is, I mean, this is all you do. Most other type firms, you know, they do several other areas and, you know, they're probably good at those other areas, but I want a specialist. I want somebody that this is all they do day in and day out. And I think that's one really good thing that sets Mile High Estate Planning apart. Do you agree?
You're absolutely correct. It is something that very much sets us apart. Our firm has been named Mile High Estate Planning since I formed the company 7 years ago, the year my children were born. We have done nothing but estate planning and estate administration since starting the law firm. As far as I know, we are the only law firm with the term estate planning actually in our name. Mm-hmm. Others will claim to have specialized in estate planning for some time, but in truth, they may have changed their practice areas over the years. We have focused exclusively on estate planning, and we can do everything within the estate planning umbrella, from simple wills to revocable living trusts, to asset protection trusts, both for lawsuit protection and for Medicaid protection. We do gun trusts. We do pet trusts. We can help with VA benefits. We can help clients apply for Medicaid benefits as they get older. We do all the incapacity planning as well. And then we can also do all the administration work as well. We can do probate administration, trust administration, probate or trust litigation. So in the event that there's an unclear estate plan drafted by someone else, or for our team of attorneys can get in there, go to court, and fight to protect our clients' legal rights. We don't do anything outside of the estate planning. So no divorces, no car accidents, no criminal matters. But anything within estate planning, we're very well versed and able to help our clients with.
Great. Once again, the number 720-924-6171. It's milehighestateplanning.com. Please check out the website. It's a great website. Just read what others have said. As we've said before, don't believe us. You can believe others. But I'm telling you that Blake is the real deal. And as you can tell, really knows this whole area of estate planning inside and out, and he will be of great help to you. And, you know, Blake, who knows what's going to happen here with colleges and all, but there are students that are planning of going maybe off to college for the first time, and they're 18 and headed off. And we've touched on this a little bit before, but I think just bringing it out maybe will help people really understand what does that student leaving home, what kind of paperwork is good right now just to get them taken care of for any medical issues that may come up while they're away at school?
Sure, sure. So usually when people think about estate planning, they think about their parents or their grandparents setting up an estate plan. But if you have children who may be going off to school as well, you want to make sure that they have a complete set of incapacity documents. Generally, people call my office because they want the trust, and the trust is very important. But in my opinion, arguably, the incapacity documents are even more important. So having your children sign a medical power of attorney, a HIPAA release, these are very important. So if your children, God forbid, end up hospitalized, you're able to speak with their doctors and help arrange for their medical care. And I want to kind of take a little tangent on what you were saying. And as school is starting back, some people will be in session. Other schools, I heard Harvard is going to be all online.
Right.
We at Mile High Estate Planning, we're doing our best to prevent the spread of COVID-19, regularly sanitizing and cleaning the office. We do have beautiful office space in downtown Denver, right next to Union Station with the free parking. We are available to meet with our clients in person, but we're also available for phone calls or Zoom consultations. Lots of clients have taken us up on that opportunity, and we're helping to get the estate planning process started just without even an in-person meeting. Again, if clients are comfortable coming to the office, we're more than happy to have you by our lovely office space, and you've been by as well.
Absolutely, no. I mean, beautiful, and like I say, parking real close, free parking. And so, you know, whatever you're comfortable in doing, as Blake mentioned, he can accommodate you. So, Blake, as you've been talking to new clients here over these last few months, what's kind of been their deciding factor to finally do this? Because most people put it off till as long as they can. And so what's kind of triggering some folks right now to say, you know what, now's the time to get our estate plan for our family?
So there's two types of clients. There are the planners. There are those who will hear this radio show and say, you know what, I'm the type that plans ahead. I want to go ahead and take care of my affairs as soon as possible. I'm going to jump on this and get my estate plan done now. And then there's the other group that reacts. Some react once a family member has passed away and they have to go through the probate process themselves. They see how long and expensive and how difficult the probate process can be themselves. And they don't want that for their own children. And so for some, it's the motivation of let's go ahead and just plan, and they like to have their ducks in the row from the beginning. Others come to me after having another family member or friend that passed away, that became incapacitated, that moved into a nursing home and didn't have any plan for their assets. So it's one of two things. COVID-19 has certainly, and I don't mean to profit from others' misfortune, but the reality is COVID-19 has actually been very good for our business. We've
Sure.
been in business for over 7 years, and we've never been as busy as we are now. Lots of people are beginning to be concerned and worried about their estate plan in light of the recent virus outbreak. So it's definitely a busy time, and people are motivated to set up their estate plan for a variety of different reasons. I think the best reason to do it is peace of mind. I mean, sooner or later, it's something that everyone is going to have to face. And the sooner you do it, I feel there's a bigger value because you live longer and have more peace of mind. You can benefit from that more the sooner that you take care of your estate plan.
Right.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure. That's certainly true when it comes to estate planning.
Sure. You know, what really, last couple of minutes here, but what really gives you your satisfaction just to continue to do something like this? I mean, I guess just helping people and seeing them, you know, like you say, get that relief, get that peace of mind. Is that what really drives Blake Harris every day with Mile High Estate Planning?
What I do is actually very personal to me. My own grandma, she grew up in the Great Depression. She never made a lot of money, but she saved every penny she had. And as she got older, she was very skeptical of working with attorneys, even though one of her her daughter was married to one, and she had three children that were all in law school and were all attorneys, three grandchildren that are all attorneys now. It's about protecting the family assets, and money means different things to different people, but really what money can do, it can buy you freedom. And I really feel like I'm helping to give families more freedom to go to the place they want to go, freedom to spend time with the people that they love. In many cases, a few hours of estate planning can do more to preserve a family's wealth than decades of working. And getting to meet with families and help them do that, help them preserve their assets and preserve the family harmony gives me a lot of gratification. It's why I love what I do, and I feel very blessed and lucky to be in the career and run the company that I do.
Right. And a lot of times, Blake, you know, a lot of people just feel like, you know, I don't have enough stuff. I don't, you know, I don't own property. I don't have thousands, you know, hundreds of thousands in the bank. But still, an estate plan is very important to everyone, isn't it?
We work with clients with very, very few assets, and we work with clients with tens of millions of dollars of assets. Estate planning can benefit pretty much everyone ages 18 or older. An individual with very few assets is not going to need a very complex estate plan the way someone with millions of dollars may need a more complex estate plan. So, yes, I get to work with people through all walks of life. I've worked with some of Colorado's wealthiest families, and I've worked with individuals who have very little money, people who are very young. I've worked with people who are even in jail sometimes before.
Sure.
So I've had the opportunity to meet with people of all different ages. My youngest client just signed an estate plan is 19 years old, and I've had another client who is 99 years old. It's all walks of life that have come through my office and that have gotten to benefit from our services. So it's a very rewarding position that I'm in.
Great. Listen, folks, don't put it off any longer. Call Blake today. It's a free consultation, 720-924-6171. Check out the website, milehighestateplanning.com. Once again, just go through, take a few minutes, read the reviews. You'll see what others have said about Blake. And I promise you, he would love to help you out. And we said, hey, if you're comfortable, more comfortable on a Zoom call, you want to go to his office, whatever, he will be glad to accommodate you. So, Blake, always great information. Enjoy it. And we'll look forward to our next visit, sir.
Scott, it's a pleasure being on the show, and look forward to being on the show again sometime soon. Have a great day.
All right. That's Blake Harris. Once again, you've been listening to Protect Your Legacy, milehighestateplanning.com. We'll be right back.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Here's why you need KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh, on your side. He understands how the jury thinks.
In the context of a personal injury case where you have been hurt by someone else's negligence, the idea with that is that you're then going to try to recover to get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. And what that really means from a juror's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about what six people that don't know you, that hear evidence and have to make a unanimous decision, will decide as to what fair value is. And so you and I, when we get hurt, have definitely an idea of what we think it's worth to us. But the question is, what can you articulate to those other individuals who don't know you and are not involved in this process to get them persuaded about what it is that they think the case is worth?
Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Nutrition and Wellness with Dr. Mark Riggs, 5280 Functional Medicine. 5280functionalmed.com is the website, and their number 720-722-0386. And by the way, if you've missed any of our past shows, please go to 5280functionalmed.com. And Dr. Riggs done a great job there putting all of our podcasts, labeling all of those so you can check out the different conditions. But always great to have Dr. Riggs with us each week. So, Doc, how are you?
I'm doing great, Scott.
We made it through another week.
We did, and you're here, and you're mobile.
I'm here. I'm mobile. I'm probably about 40% mobile, yeah, right, after the little knee replacement. But I tell you, that's a different deal than arthroscopic. Man, yeah. Wow. Yep. It really is. But, no, glad to have you with us. And, man, we've talked about this, you know, several times, and what these words stress can really play a role in our health. And I'm telling you, these last 4 months, I cannot think of a more stressful time on every human being in the United States, it seems like.
That's right. You know, we've talked a lot about stress in the past in the context of its negative impact on immune system function, and as it relates to the whole COVID pandemic. And so I kind of wanted to branch off of that and talk a little bit about how chronic stress and what's called now HPA axis dysfunction, I'll explain what that is, how that has an impact on us, and besides just immune system health, but okay, other facets of health. And it sort of rings true for me recently because we're currently expecting our third child, a little girl, any minute now.
Yeah, so you may have to leave during the show.
Stress has been peaked for me in the past few days because our last son came a week early, and we've passed that window.
Right.
And so now it really is truly any minute, any hour.
Wow.
So my stress has definitely peaked. How's yours?
Exactly.
So, on the topic of chronic stress, most of us have probably heard of a healthcare provider or some other person in healthcare refer to the term chronic stress or chronic stress syndrome, or maybe even adrenal fatigue. And this term adrenal fatigue has kind of been passed around, and I realize that lots of people out there have been reading about adrenal fatigue or have been hearing about this term adrenal fatigue for perhaps decades, and it's a widely used term by both clinicians and patients to refer to the syndrome that's scientifically known now as HPA axis dysfunction. And HPA stands for hypothalamic, pituitary, and adrenal, right? So just, it's a little bit more complicated than just adrenal fatigue. And although the term adrenal fatigue is less of a mouthful than HPA axis dysfunction, adrenal fatigue is almost completely absent from the scientific literature, interestingly enough. And it poorly describes the range of dysfunction that occurs in this syndrome. For example, in cases of quote-unquote adrenal fatigue, when total cortisol is measured in these patients that are suspected to have this problem, cortisol is more likely to be high than it is to be low. And even when it's low, it's rarely due to the adrenals being quote-unquote fatigued or unable to produce the hormone cortisol. Now, we now know that there are multiple brain and tissue-specific mechanisms for regulating cortisol production that actually have very little to do with the adrenal glands themselves. So basically, HPA axis dysfunction is better understood as a problem of the brain and central nervous system than just the adrenal glands themselves. So I just wanted to start the conversation off today for those listening that, you know, if you've heard of this thing, adrenal fatigue, doctors keep talking about adrenal fatigue, people keep writing books on adrenal fatigue, it's a misnomer, and it doesn't exactly comprehensively or accurately address the complexity of the issue. So again, understanding this leads to a deeper appreciation of that complexity and the involvement of other mechanisms not typically considered under the quote-unquote adrenal fatigue umbrella, such as the role of inflammation and blood sugar dysregulation, for example. Mm-hmm. That affects the adrenal glands. That affects our ability to cope with stress. So the new term that the scientific community is using for the old adrenal fatigue model, HPA axis dysfunction, refers to the constellation of signs and symptoms that include fatigue and sleep disruption and poor exercise tolerance, poor exercise recovery, low libido, brain fog, weakened immune system, and the classic reduced stress tolerance. So HPA axis dysfunction is caused by a variety of aspects of the modern lifestyle, including poor diet, sleep deprivation, chronic stress, lack of or too much exercise, inflammation, and these problems affect nearly every cell and every tissue in the body. And in essence, it has to be addressed.
Right.
It has to be addressed in virtually all cases of chronic illness in order for healing to occur. And Scott, I've mentioned on a few previous radio shows, again, going back to our several shows in a row talking about how to optimize immune system health, there are four primary triggers of HPA axis dysfunction. The first is perceived stress, right? That's the thing that most of us think about when we think about the word chronic stress or adrenal mm-hmm. fatigue. We think about perceived stress. And now there's four key determinants of perceived stress. That's the novelty of the event that you're experiencing, the unpredictable nature of that event, the perceived threat to our body and or our ego, and the sense of a loss of control. Those are the four determinants of perceived stress. And these are things like finances, like relationships, problems at work, things dealing with public speaking, and internal stress perception caused by neuronal imbalances. And generally, psychological stress is more harmful than other types of stress because there's less of a sense of control and it can last much, much longer than other types of stress. It can last for years or decades. The second major form of a major trigger of HPA axis dysfunction is circadian disruption, and I've referred to this before as mm-hmm. sleep stress. So this comes from sleep deprivation, artificial light exposure, nighttime light exposure, getting too little exposure to natural light during the day. Patients who are, let's say they're your pilots or your travelers, you experience jet lag, shift workers, and overconsumption of caffeine at inappropriate times during mm-hmm. the day. All of those can lead to sleep-induced stress. The third is glycemic dysregulation, or otherwise known as metabolic stress. This can come from poor diet, lack of sleep, lack of exercise, and it's thought to be because of the visceral fat. The fat that's around our organs is caused by elevated cortisol, which in turn triggers inflammatory mediators. And hypoglycemia leads to HPA axis activation, so impaired glucose sensing also causes increased cortisol. So whether it's too low, too high, basically if your blood sugar's bouncing around, you've got metabolic stress. And as I've mentioned on numerous previous shows, 100 million Americans, it's estimated, have serious glucose blood sugar dysregulation. Right. They're either pre-diabetic or diabetic. 100 million Americans, almost a third of the country. And number four, the fourth primary trigger of this hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis dysfunction that used to be known as adrenal fatigue involves chronic inflammation. So cortisol, this hormone that we've been talking about, is a powerful anti-inflammatory agent. So either acute or chronic inflammatory triggers of the HPA axis cause increased levels of cortisol. So now let me give you a few more examples here. I talked about exercise. Overtraining or being sedentary can lead to increased, in the case of overtraining, increased cortisol. In the case of being too sedentary, it can lead to sleep dysfunction.
Which a lot of people are, right? You know, you take the people that are locked in their house, so to speak, older folks especially, and they've been sitting around for 3 or 4 months, not even going outside.
Unable to move your body, yeah. So when you're sedentary, it can lead to sleep dysfunction. It can lead to metabolic dysfunction. How about, like you're alluding to now, social isolation? Social support actually mitigates the impact of stress, and lack of social support is a major stressor and has been shown to reduce lifespan. So then there's other things like gut issues, like food intolerances that cause chronic low-grade, long-term inflammation that I talked about. Other chronic infections like low-grade viral infections. Just had a few patients recently that we suspected might have something going on there. We checked and they had either Epstein-Barr or cytomegalovirus or both, or herpes viruses, chronic low-grade infections. How about environmental toxins that are found in numerous hundreds of different chemicals that are out on the market? How about thyroid function? Hypothyroidism leads to increased cortisol levels and various drugs. I mentioned caffeine, but how about antidepressants and steroids and various other commonly prescribed drugs that cause a dysregulation of the HPA axis in a variety of different ways. Mm-hmm. So those are just a few examples, real world examples of different types of patients that we see in our office all the time. That's not uncommon at all. So we're talking about, for those just listening, we're talking about an old term that used to be thrown around called adrenal fatigue. It's now referred to as HPA axis dysfunction. It's another word for chronic stress or chronic stress syndrome. And it affects the quality of our life in a big, big way through a variety of different avenues. And I mentioned the four main triggers of HPA axis dysfunction or chronic stress involve: number one is perceived stress. Number two is sleep-induced stress. Number three is glycemic dysregulation or metabolic stress, which many Americans suffer from. Right. And number four is chronic inflammation, which is also a prerequisite for every chronic disease under the sun that exists. So,
and most people have, I mean, I'm surprised when you say it was one-third. I'm surprised two-thirds aren't that way.
Right. Because, I am too.
Really, because, I mean, you know, you talk about inflammation. I mean, that affects all of us. And good night. We could do a whole show just on sleep, because I don't know of anybody that goes, oh, man, I slept too long last night, or I've been getting so much sleep.
Right.
I mean, it's not that way for anybody.
It's
right
not. And you know what? It's no secret. We all know it, whether it's being brought to our attention or not. But we as Americans are under more stress now than ever before from a variety of, whether it's finances or work or, you know, just never unplugging from technology, or the food, the quality of the food that we're eating and things like that. Now we got a pandemic on top of everything else. We're under an excessive amount of chronic stress all the time. And whether that be perceived stress, sleep stress, metabolic stress, inflammatory stress, one, two, three, or all four of those areas of HPA axis dysfunction, all four of those lead to chronic health problems. Mm-hmm. And here's the cool thing, Scott. I know a lot of doctors aren't testing for this type of thing. A lot of our counterparts in conventional medicine, when they get a quote-unquote psych case in their office, they immediately say, well, guess what? I've got something for that. Here's your SSRI, right? Here's your selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, right? Here's your Prozac.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, or they might refer you to a psychiatric professional who will provide you with those medications. And unfortunately, you know, very few people are being referred for cognitive behavioral therapy and biofeedback and, you know, EMDR and all these other, you know, more conservative methods of stress management and coping in a healthy way with your stress. Oftentimes, not saying there's anything wrong about the drugs in all
sure.
cases, but when you jump straight to that approach, that can be really problematic for a lot
right,
of people.
Right.
Because
generally, I mean, that's all.
If that's the only tool,
been trained to do.
If that's the only tool in your toolbox, there you go. That's what yep. you're going to get. So, but hopefully hopefully patients are, you know, if they're using the medication, hopefully they're at least coupling that with some, mm-hmm. you know, some talk therapy in
Absolutely.
Some way, shape, or form, and some, you know, mindfulness techniques that they've been guided through by a qualified practitioner, right? We do some of that, and our health coach Bryn does some of that, but again, it's always in combination with a psychological care provider, right? That's not necessarily us. We can assist, but I absolutely recommend patients get with a you know somebody well versed in mm-hmm. some of that care, because that's crucial. You don't want to neglect that. So yeah, the goal of the conversation is today for people. I know we've talked about this, you know, chronic stress topic in the past as it relates to immune system dysfunction, but it also has an impact on lots of other chronic illnesses. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are a few conditions that we commonly see in practice where addressing these chronic physiological stressors is an absolutely non-negotiable component to any treatment program. And a couple of those things are things that we see a lot. We see lots of type 2 diabetics. We see lots of patients with hypertension. And we see quite a few patients with autoimmune conditions. And type 2 diabetes, hypertension, and autoimmune disease, there is an absolute, without a doubt, chronic physiological stress component to all of those. And it must be appropriately diagnosed. We've got to do a better job assessing, and then we've got to do a much better job at tailoring specific nutrition and lifestyle based treatments for these patients. And
those things you just mentioned make you very susceptible to this COVID-19. I mean,
yeah.
You look at all that. I mean, it's just, you know,
whole nother thing, but absolutely. I mean, it does nothing good. These conditions, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, a chronic autoimmune condition, none of those do anything beneficial for us. Okay. They just amplify all other pre-existing conditions. They make you more susceptible to viral infections and bacterial infections and all sorts of things. So as I alluded to earlier, Scott, the neat thing about this is that we can test for this. Just because you're experiencing chronic stress, and let's say you're experiencing chronic perceived stress. Let me give you an example real quick, and then I'll come back to my thought, hopefully, or you can guide me back.
Okay.
But I'm going to go down this rabbit hole. But I had a patient who was the general manager of a major restaurant. That's a major chain across the United States. And, you know, you're thinking a person who's the general manager of dozens and dozens of staff, and at any given time on any given night, there's
right.
hundreds of patients in the
sure.
in the seats, right? He's responsible for all that. And although he claimed to me that he did not think that he was under any kind of chronic stress state, his labs said otherwise. So the reason why he said that, Scott, and the reason why we can't always go by how our patients feel, we've got to bring some advanced labs into the picture. We've got to have some objective data to go off of. You know, we take our patients' symptoms, you know, into account, but it's not the be all end all, is all I'm trying to say.
Sure.
In this situation, he's telling me, this is just
it's
my
life.
Normal.
Yeah.
This is just my life. And I'm happy. I love my job. And if you'd asked me, I don't think I'm under any kind of chronic or excessive stress, because that's, guess what? That's just his normal. So when we tested him through this specific, it's called the Dutch test. And D-U-T-C-H stands for dried urine test for comprehensive hormones. We utilize this dried urine test to comprehensively assess both stress hormones and sex hormones, by the way, but today we're talking about stress. And it offers us some, it provides us some pretty astounding insight into a patient's chronic physiological stress that may be driven by perceived stress, but it may be driven by inflammation or poor metabolism or sleep-induced stress. And this Dutch test clues us into where that chronic stress might be coming from. Not just if you're stressed or not. Some people can tell us, yeah, I know I'm stressed, right? But in other situations, patients aren't overtly, they're not cognizant of it. They're not, you know, they're not overtly aware of it. And so we have to run some testing, especially in the presence of some of those serious chronic conditions where stress is always a component and it must be addressed absolutely 100% of the time. Otherwise, good luck getting to the bottom and reversing that chronic condition. We've got to test for it.
Right.
And we're not just testing, as I've mentioned in the past, we're not just testing because we like to. We're not just testing because it's cool or for the fun of it. We're testing because the data that we get back from the test provides us with very specific information that clues us into what's going on and where that stress is coming from. And then based on these patterns of hormone dysfunction, what we need to start going after, right? What we need to start applying a tailored nutrition and lifestyle-based program specifically toward. So that's really what we do. I mean, we're looking at free cortisol and total metabolized cortisol and the balance between the two. We're looking at melatonin. We're looking at, you know, high DHEA or do you have low DHEA? We're looking at the cortisol to cortisone ratio. This stuff isn't being done right now, but this is highly evidence-based. This is all supported in the scientific literature, and this is the missing piece that allows us to tailor a treatment program specifically to the patient, not just take your Prozac or take your Valium or take this drug that's going to mask your symptoms, may or may not even work, and always runs the risk of potential serious adverse effects. Like you're taking a drug for depression, call your doctor if you experience suicidal thoughts or homicidal thoughts, right? Uh-oh. That's kind of a not great adverse effect of the drug. When you're taking something for depression, it worsens your depression. That's the story for a lot of people, and it's incredibly frustrating for those patients. I'm talking about a more tailored way that's still evidence-based or at least evidence-informed to customize a treatment plan for a patient that's experiencing any type of chronic stress that may be predisposing you to a chronic health condition or driving and worsening a current chronic health condition.
And man, if they can just get in, you know, give you a call, 720-722-0386, and kind of get a handle on this now. And we're going to help you out a little bit because tomorrow at 10:30, you mentioned Bryn. And by the way, Bryn is a certified functional medicine health and wellness coach there with 5280 Functional Med. She's going to be doing kind of a free webinar on this exact topic.
Yes, it's called Stress Management: Techniques to Create a Calm Mind and Body. It's like you said, Scott, it's taking place tomorrow. That's Saturday morning, July 11th at 10:30 in the morning. I will be in attendance unless my wife goes into labor before then. So if you have any specific questions for me, you can attend and ask any questions for myself or our nationally board certified functional medicine health coach, Bryn. Go to register for the talk, go to our website, 5280functionalmed.com, and right there, the first thing that comes up on the header, the banner of the website, there's going to be a link that you can click on. It takes you right to the registration page, and you fill it out, and boom, you're in business. So anybody interested, anybody listening, or any friends or family of anybody listening can register. It's absolutely free. We'd love to see you there. And it's all about stress management techniques to create a more calm mind and body, and it addresses those four major factors that contribute to HPA axis dysfunction, hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis dysfunction, the network of endocrine glands that help us cope with chronic stress that our bodies were designed to deal with.
Sure.
But it's just, it gets out of hand with our modern lifestyle. Chronic stress is everywhere. It's almost like ingrained in us. It's a part of our life. Right. We don't even realize it's a problem for us until we then develop an autoimmune disorder, or we develop type 2 diabetes, or we develop hypertension. And then, now we have to address the chronic stress that's been going on in our lives for years or decades if we have any hope of reversing that chronic health condition. So join us tomorrow, Saturday, July 11th at 10:30 Mountain Time. Go to our website, 5280functionalmed.com, and click on the registration link on the banner of the homepage. It's totally free to register. Tell your friends, tell your family members. Bryn has already showed me, and it's a very, very well done presentation. I'll be in attendance. You can ask me any questions, with the caveat that if my wife goes into labor, I will not be there. So,
and you know what? I mean, if you look at it, I mean, I think even families, you know, with teenagers and maybe kids wondering if they're even going to go to college, you know, with the way things are right now, if they're going to be having school. But I think really the whole family is probably under huge stress right now because, hey, summer's different. Vacations probably aren't happening as planned. Different, you know, outings, you know, not going out to eat as much and enjoying that family time. So it wouldn't be a bad idea just to get the family around the computer in the morning and watch it online as a family and just talk about it,
That's a great idea. Stress is almost inescapable, and I'm not talking about eliminating stress from our lives. That's silly, and it's not possible. But I'm talking about healthy avenues of managing stress, and also, you know, for those that decide to become a patient, you know, we are tailoring our stress management techniques to which of those forms of chronic stress or HPA axis dysfunction are you suffering from, and then, you know, what your makeup is, and determining what is the best, most tailored treatment approach specifically for you. It includes nutritional recommendations, you know, food frequency, types of foods, macronutrient ratios, micronutrient needs. It involves physical activity and other behavioral and lifestyle recommendations, rest and sleep and exercise, and how much contact you're getting with nature, and how much time you're making in your day to disconnect and play and actually enjoy some sort of pleasure, and you know, chronic perceived stress management techniques and all sorts of different things, Scott. So that's really what sets our practice apart from other practices, is you're not just going to get, well, doc, hey, you're not going to go in and say, well, doc, I'm really stressed out, or I'm depressed, or I'm anxious, and they're going to give you a pill. We're going to more comprehensively gather your health history. We're going to maybe run some advanced diagnostic testing to obtain where your chronic physiological stress is coming from and what that looks like on a physiological level based on your hormone secretions.
Right.
And then we're going to custom tailor a food and lifestyle program based on the dysfunction that we find. And Scott, the results have been pretty tremendous when we use this tailored, you know, this precision medicine approach to treatment. The results are really astounding, and it doesn't revolve around the drugs.
Right. Good deal. Dr. Riggs, first of all, we wish you and your wife the very best on what you're going through there. So I know you're stressed, but your wife probably is as well. So good luck with that. Join the webinar tomorrow. Again, 5280functionalmed.com is the website. Their number is 720-722-0386. Hope you have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.